chapter 16. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16. When you're in a storm and fear comes over you, raise a hallelujah. When you feel there's no hope, what do? You'll raise a hallelujah. Because greater is He that is living on the inside of you than any enemy in the world. When doubt and unbelief start speaking to you, raise your hallelujah louder than those words of unbelief that keep coming into your head. When you're feeling you are surrounded in darkness, raise a hallelujah and watch the dimmer switch of light come on and dispel that darkness. Hallelujah. In the middle of your situation, sing. And sing louder. Raise a hallelujah with everything inside of you. And when the situation intensifies your singing, raising your hallelujahs a little louder and then a little louder. Each time, you get louder. Sing a little louder in the presence of your enemies. Sing a little louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder. Your weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for you. So raise your hallelujah. You're there in Acts chapter 16. Look to verse 16. That's where we'll start, on verse 16. We're going to look at Paul and Silas. They know how to raise a hallelujah. I'm telling you. This is a Message Bible. One day, on our way to the place of prayer, a slave girl ran into us. She was a psychic and, with her fortune-telling, made a lot of money for the people who owned her. She started following Paul around, calling everyone's attention to us by yelling out, "These men are working for the Most High God. They're laying out the road of salvation for you." She did this for a number of days until Paul, finally fed up with her, turned and commanded the spirit that possessed her, "Out! In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her." And it was gone just like that. It was gone just like that. Paul knew the authority in the name. And when he spoke it, there was authority behind it, and that had to leave. That spirit had to leave. But he knew who he was in Christ and could speak that name with that authority. Do you know you have the same authority with that name to speak it? Amen. Yes, you do. Thank you, Lord. Know who you are in Christ. Yes. Command the authority that he's given you, the authority in his name. Paul, he was upset not because what the girl was saying was untrue, but because the girl was being viewed as the source of it. We got to watch our sources where they come from. Verse 19. When her owners saw that their lucrative little business was suddenly bankrupt, there was no more income going to come in, they went after Paul and Silas and beat them up. And then they dragged them into the market square. Then the police arrested them and pulled them into a court with the accusation, "These men are disturbing the peace, dangerous Jewish agitators, subverting our Roman law and order." By this time, the crowd had turned into a restless mob out for blood. All of the claims were false, not remotely related to Roman laws or customs, not even close. But also, do you notice how easy it was to incite the mob? They become bloodthirsty. Things haven't changed, have they? All you have to do is turn the news on, look on Facebook, anything on social media. You're going to see. It's easy. They can incite a mob. They're doing things that are just... Do you see that over in Hong Kong at that airport? There was innocent people being accused of things of beating up and everything else strapped there, and they had to take them away in ambulance. The mob was totally out of control. Now, I believe in free speech, but come on. You get somebody in there that really wants to stir it up, and they can walk out and stop traffic on 376. Come on. And then you got some crazy who's going to run them over. And then it all just keeps going. We know who's behind all of it. All right, verse 22. The judges went along with the mob, of course. they don't want to get beat up. They had Paul and Silas's clothes ripped off and ordered a public beating. After beating them black and blue, they threw them into jail, telling the jailkeeper to put them under heavy guard so there would be no chance of escape. He did just that. He threw them into the maximum security cell in the jail and clamped leg irons on them. They were beat up so bad, they wasn't going to be running nowhere for a while. Verse 25. Along about midnight, on midnight hour, Paul and Silas were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. They were raising a hallelujah surrounded in a dark prison cell. You talk about darkness. And they was raising a hallelujah. The other prisoners, they couldn't believe their ears. Then, without warning, a huge earthquake. The jailhouse tottered and trembled, and it shook. Can you imagine that? Boom! You've seen the earthquake. You've seen them on TV. Man, everything just starts shaking and falling off shelves. Everything's moving. Because they was raising a hallelujah in the midst of the darkness, surrounded by all their enemies. The ground shook. Every door flew open. All the prisoners were loose. Startled from sleep, the jailer saw all the doors swinging loose on their hinges, assuming, and we never want to assume anything, amen? No. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he pulled out his sword and was about to do himself in, figuring he was as good as dead anyway, when Paul stopped him. Don't do that. We're all still here. Nobody's run away. How did Paul know that? The Holy Ghost was working in him, said nobody left him. Reassure this man. Speak out to him. The Holy Spirit will speak to you to speak to other people, and he'll tell you when and how to do it. But I can hear that jailer. Right away yelling, what? It's totally black. What? The jailer got a torch and he ran inside. Badly shaken, he collapsed in front of Paul and Silas. He led them out of the jail and asked, sirs, what do I have to do to be saved, to really live? They said, put your entire trust in the Master Jesus. Then you'll live as you were meant to live, and everyone in your house included. They went on to spell out in detail the story of the Master. They were going to deliver the good news. They were going to preach the word. On Wednesday, Brother Tim brought out a great point. I don't know if you picked up on it. He talked about three things, about prayer, worship, and the word. Well, he said, we have pre-service prayer here. Pre-service prayer is when we gather together here to pray for the service, to pray and to invite the Holy Spirit here. Because if you don't want Him here, He's not going to come. Pre-service prayer is important. You pray for the service. You'll pray for the people. You'll pray for the word. You'll pray for the pastor to be able to deliver the word and to stand up here and not be nervous and break out in a sweat. Thinking, am I doing the right thing? Well, don't worry about doing the right thing. Let the Holy Ghost work through him. Lord, pre-service prayer is important. And then what? Then we follow it with worship, do we not? Followed by worship. And then comes what? The preaching of the word. We see the Paul and Silas here. What did the first thing they did? They got into a pre-service prayer before the message was going to be delivered. So they got into pre-service prayer. And then they followed it with worship and praise. They praised. They praised. And it made a way for the word. It introduced the word. Be encouraged. If you can't make intercessory prayer here at that time, please pray on your way in. Please pray on the way in. I encourage you to be together and be here. But I still encourage you, pray. Because if you're praying in the car on your way here, you ain't going to fight with your spouse. You ain't going to fight with your kids, are you? Not if you're praying. Maybe that's a good thing. Yeah. Pre-car service. Right? It says, they went on to spell out in detail the story of the master. The entire family got in on this part. They never did get to bed that night. We used to have a lot of nights like that here at this church. The jailer made them feel at home. He dressed their wounds, and then he couldn't wait till morning, was baptized, he and everyone in his family. There in his home, he had food set out for a festival meal for them. It was a night to remember. I can hear him saying, oh, what a night, right? He and his entire family had put their trust in God. They were all born again that night. Everyone in the house was in on the celebration. They were in on the celebration. The glory of God fell. Can you hear them singing that song? You know you make me want to shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout, come on now, come on now. Jesus set me free, hallelujah. Jesus set me free, right? Shout, come on, give me a shout. Say Jesus, come on, say Jesus.
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 Jesus!
Jesus!
Yeah, he delivers all the glory to him. All the glory. Hallelujah. That's what they were doing. They were shouting. They were excited. No more. They were free. They were really free so they could really live. That's what he requested, and that's what got delivered to him and his household. Sorry about that, Kyle. Yeah, okay. Well, in Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2, says, shout with joy before the Lord, O earth. Obey Him. Obey Him. Obey him. Next word, gladly. Gladly. Come before him, singing with joy. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. There's a great combo for you. His loving kindness and His faithfulness. Faithfulness. Loving kindness. Woo! I'll take that combo any day. Praise Him in the midst of your problem and continue to praise Him, and you will see the glory of God. Shout, for He has given you the victory. Isn't that what Joshua told them when they marched around Jericho? Shout, for He has given you the victory. Whatever you're going through, shout, He's given you the victory. Well, you don't know. He's given you the victory. Yeah, but. No, yeah, but. He's given you the victory. Get off the yeah, buts. Focus in on Him. Shout, for He has given you the victory. I do. I have to. Yeah, I get attacked. Yes, I do. And as soon as I start to get that head start to drop, I say, oh no, we ain't going there. I got to get my head up. Because if I don't, I got Teresa and Leanne. Oh. I don't have a stand a chance. I don't stand a chance. In Psalm 86, verse 12. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. Glorify his name forevermore. The more you glorify him, the more he'll lift you up, the more he'll glorify you. And you'll see the glory of God fall. Yes. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And we're going to look to chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Okay. Where's that right there? Verse 1. We're going to look at Judah, and we're going to look at King Jehoshaphat here. We're going to see that they raised a hallelujah. The Moabites and the Ammonites, together with some Meunites, they came against Jehoshaphat for battle. And some came and declared to Jehoshaphat. They came running in there. And they said, hey, a large multitude is coming against you from across the Dead Sea, from Edom. And observe. Look now, look, they're in Hazion Tamar. That is En-Gedi. That is an oasis, folks. They had come and gathered together at their local Holiday Inn for refreshing time. Refreshing. Seems like it brings it more home. Everybody says, oasis, I don't really know what an oasis is, but I know what the Holiday Inn Express is. It's an overnight stay where I can get refreshed. And that's what they were doing. Gathered together there so they get refreshed because they were going to take on Judah. And they're going to take down Jerusalem. That's what they thought. Then Jehoshaphat, he was fearful. Means he was greatly afraid, folks. Greatly afraid. Not reverently here. This means he was scared. And he set himself to seek the Lord. Good idea. Wouldn't you agree? Good idea. And he called for a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah was assembled to seek the counsel and to inquire the Lord. Even from all the cities of Judah, they came to obtain aid or help from the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the midst of the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new courtyard. And he said, you know, it's amazing here. He gets into reasoning with God. Yeah. Says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Yeah. And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? Yeah. In your hand are strength and might, and there is no one who can oppose you. Okay, go ahead. Do you not, our God, drive out those who lived in this land before your people Israel? And you gave it perpetually to the descendants of Abraham, who was in covenant love with you? Are you making a point here, son? And they have dwelled in it and have made it for you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, then we will stand before this temple and before you, because your name is in this temple, and we will cry out. That means they were going to call out to one for his aid. To you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver. Folks, he hears and he delivers. He hears and he delivers. And you know how he's going to deliver for them? Exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think. They were looking for just a little bit of help. A little bit of help. They wanted to get more than a little bit of help. That's where we need to go. We need to go calling out to him. Calling out to him. Because he will hear and he will deliver. Verse 10. Now here are the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, when they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit? Oh, our God, will you not render judgment on them? For we have not strength enough to stand before this great army that is coming against us. And we do not know what we should do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat was looking up to God. He wasn't hanging his head down. His eyes were focused on God and his mercy, because he knew that God's mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Now all of Judah was standing before the Lord, even their infants, wives, and children. Family affair, folks. They needed to be in one accord, all of them. And in the midst of the assembly, The Spirit of God came. That's God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came, and he came on Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite from the line of Asaph. The Spirit came on one man to speak out, and he boldly spoke out. And he said, pay attention, all Judah, and those dwelling in Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear nor be dismayed because of this great army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It's God's battle. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will travel up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the back of the valley of Ziz, before the wilderness of Jeruel. It will not be necessary for you to fight in this conflict. Take your positions, stand, and observe. Just watch. Watch me work the deliverance of the Lord for you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be filled with terror. Tomorrow, go out before them, and the Lord will be with you. The Lord is with you. When you are in battle, the Lord is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Lord goes with you. Because he is living in you. Realize that. And the battle's not really all yours. It's his. You got to trust him. Trust him. What do we have to do? Raise a hallelujah. That's right at that point in time. Raise a hallelujah. Right in the midst of your enemies. Raise a hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, raise a hallelujah. You want to shake your house up? Start singing that song. And the whole family will join in. You'll raise a hallelujah together. Amen. Then Jehoshaphat, after hearing this, he bowed his face to the ground in reverence to God. And all Judah and those dwelling in Jerusalem fell before the Lord to worship him. And the Levites from the descendants of Kohathites and the Korites rose up to raise a hallelujah, to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. So they rose up early in the morning, and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen. And he stopped them all. He said, listen, Judah and all those dwelling in Jerusalem, and I'm going to add, simply believe in the Lord your God. And you will be supported. You will be supported. That means you will be made to stand firm. You will be placed on a solid rock. And when you're on a solid rock, you aren't going to be moved. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. How do we know what the prophets have said in the years? It's in the Word. The prophets have spoken through the years. Some people don't even realize a prophet said the Messiah is coming. Some people still don't believe the Messiah has come. That's our job, to make sure that we let them know that he has come, and he's come for them. Because he came for us as well as he came for them. Well, you don't understand how they are. Well, how about taking a look in the mirror? Remember how you were? Of course, to me, I'm still working out my salvation. I still got a ways to go. I haven't made perfection yet. You know when perfection is made? When you enter into glory. When you're in eternity with Him. That's when you'll be in perfection. But until then, we're working out our salvation. Right? All right. Says, and he counseled with the people. And then what did he do? He says he appointed singers. Yeah. What did he do, Tim?
He appointed singers
for the Lord. And those praising him in holy attire as they went before those equipped for battle. Saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Amen. You imagine that army walking out, praise the Lord, His mercy endures forever. Amen. And all the armed forces are behind them. But there go the singers. Right. The singers are making way. Amen. They're plowing up that ground. They're dividing those lines. They're praising God. They're raising hallelujah. They're marching. And they're raising a hallelujah with every step they take. Every step they take, they raise a hallelujah. And what are they shouting? They're shouting victory. They're shouting victory. They're shouting victory in the name of Jesus. We have the victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory. We have the victory. It's already ours. Health, wholeness, prosperity, peace of mind. It's ours. Let's start living in it. Let's start thanking Him for it. Not expecting Him to deliver it. He already gave it to us. Let's thank Him for it. And the more we thank Him and the more we praise Him and raise our hallelujahs, the more content your household is going to be. The more content you're going to become. The more strength you're going to start to develop. Because you're not going to be sad. You're going to be joyful. And the joy of the Lord in you is strength. It's strength. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were defeated. Then the Ammonites and the Moabites stood up against those dwelling from Mount Seir to destroy and finish them. Then, when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they totally wiped them out. There was none left standing. Then each man attacked his companion to destroy each other. There was a lot of confusion there in that camp. Wonder who brought the confusion. And Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness. They crested. And they turned to the vast army. And they saw only corpse lying on the ground. No one was spared. There was not a body in those hundreds of thousands laying out there. Because there was more of them than there were in Judah. But see, if they would have just opened their eyes up, they would have saw there was more angels surrounding them. He has legions and legions of angels at His disposal. And they're just eager to do what He's asked them to do. It says, then Jehoshaphat and his people came to gather their plunder, which you always do after a war. And they found among them an abundance of riches. Say, abundance of riches. With the corpses. There was gold. There was silver. And there were precious jewels, which they took for themselves. Why they had all this money and all those jewels and everything they had with them, I can only figure out it had to have been that somebody told them, don't leave it behind. Somebody's going to steal it. Somebody's going to take it from you. You better take it with you. Take it out there to battlefield. You know, take it out in the battlefield. Hey, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to leave it. He might stay back here and after the battle's over and take my stuff. No, and I'm taking it with me. I ain't leaving it here. Mm-mm. I can't trust any of you guys. No, you can't trust any of them. You're all dead now. Y'all dead. And it says it was more than they could carry. They were gathering to plunder for 3 days. 3 days, because there was so much to carry. On the fourth day, they gathered at the valley of Baraka. They renamed the valley of Ziz, the valley of Baraka, meaning blessings. Because there they blessed the Lord. For this reason, people have called the name of this place the valley of Baraka, the valley of blessing, until this day. Then they all returned. No casualties, folks. No casualties. They all returned. Every man from Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat as their leader, to Jerusalem with joy. They was rejoicing. They were rejoicing. God had delivered them. For this, on this day, the Lord delivered them from destruction, making them the head and not the tail, blessing them in the city and in the field with an abundance of riches. All they had to do was go pick it up. They picked it up. They was rich. They was blessed in the city and they were blessed in the field now. And those are called for you too. You know that? You blessed in the city, you blessed in the field. You're the head, not the tail. Come on. Enemy might come against you one way, but we're going to flee 7 ways. Especially when you raise a hallelujah. Raise your hallelujah. They praised him for the victory that he had promised before it ever happened. Before it ever happened. They raised a hallelujah in the presence of their enemies. And they saw the glory of God that day. See, when you're feeling down and things look hopeless, look up. Look up to Jesus and start singing. Start singing praises to Him. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to His name. It is good. It's beneficial to you. It's beneficial to you. Sing a little louder in the presence of your enemies. Sing a little louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder. Your weapon is your melody. Sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for you. Amen. 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 Go.